Well, you'll probably recall that we started a new series last week entitled Songs of the Lord, in which we're answering the question, why do Christians sing? And in this series, we're working through three psalms over these 3 weeks. And that is, firstly, Psalm 137, a captive song, which we looked at last week. And then this week, Psalm 138, a crown song. And lastly, Psalm 139 next week, a creature's song. So today we begin with a creature's song. Let's pray before we read God's word. Heavenly Father, we are reminded of the words of James, that we should not merely listen to the word and so deceive ourselves, but that we should do what it says. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, the question that we're answering in this series is, why do Christians sing? And each of these three psalms gives a different answer to that question. The answer from this particular psalm, Psalm 138, is that we sing because we're thankful. We sing because we're thankful for who the Lord is and what he does. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a terribly thankful person. But then I wonder if any of us are very thankful. When last did you feel gratitude for the fact that you have a pair of shoes? When last did you express gratitude for having a roof over your head, or a car, or even simply water from a tap? Well, children are not particularly thankful, are they? I don't think it comes very naturally to them. My children just spent a few days with their grandparents this past week, and before I said goodbye to them, I reminded them to say please and thank you. How many of us have done that? And of course, when we picked them up from their grandparents and said goodbye, I again reminded them to say thank you, just in case they forgot. And yet, when someone does something enormously generous or surprising or sacrificial or selfless, we tend to overflow with thankfulness, don't we? When someone wins a huge prize in a competition draw on radio or on TV, thank you are inevitably the first words that come out of their mouth. And when someone is rescued from a life-threatening accident or illness or an injury, they have no difficulty in thanking their rescuer. So let's turn to our passage today, Psalm 138. A crown's song. David, the second king of Israel, the crown, is apparently the writer of this song. And although we don't know exactly when David wrote it, it was most likely written after he had received the promise from the Lord that his son would build the Lord's house, would build the temple. And the first point I think that we can take from David's song is give thanks to the Lord for his constant love. Give thanks to the Lord for his constant love. We see this, for example, in verse 2, I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. Now, this is a song of thanks, but that is not immediately apparent in the NIV, the New International Version, the Bible that you have on your seats. However, it is apparent in other good translations. They capture the thankfulness of this particular psalm. Where the NIV uses the word praise, other English translations use the word thank. And so in verses 1 and 2 in the Christian Standard Bible, we read, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and truth. David is filled with thankfulness for who the Lord is. David's thankfulness is full, in fact, to overflowing. He's ready to burst with thankfulness. And David wants to sing his thanks out. That's why he writes this song. David wants to sing of the Lord before the gods. Who are the gods? The gods are the heavenly beings or the angels. David wants to bow down towards the Lord's holy temple, the place where the Lord's presence is found. Bow down in thanks. But why? Why is David so thankful? Because of who the Lord is. Because of the Lord's constant love and truth, as we see on the slide. Because of the Lord's unfailing love and faithfulness. He's so thankful that he can't help repeating himself. And so in verse 8, we read, the Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. You see, the Lord's never stopped caring for David, and he knows it. The Lord's never withdrawn his love from David. The Lord has never let him down. Give thanks to the Lord for his constant love. On Friday, the 2nd of October, 1981, when I was 5 years old, my mum pulled me out of prep for one day. And the reason was, it was a very special day. My grandparents were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. They had a celebratory lunch in their home with close friends and family. And I don't remember much more than that I got to meet lots of old people. I got to sing a song, and I got to see them cutting a wedding cake. Now, at the time, of course, I didn't appreciate the great achievement 50 years of marriage is. They were celebrating 50 years of keeping their wedding vows, 50 years of loving each other for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. My grandparents' love for one another was constant for 50 years. And that constant love is uncommon today, isn't it? And so it's worth celebrating. Give thanks to the Lord for his constant love. David reminds us that we need to stop taking the Lord's constant love for granted. Our spouse's love can let us down, but the Lord's love is constant. Our family's love can let us down, but the Lord's love is constant. The old language is the steadfast love of the Lord. The Lord's love for you and me is unchanging, unfailing. His love for us is unending. It's constant. Now, I don't know about you, but my love for the Lord varies. My love for the Lord is unreliable. My love for the Lord is fickle. But not the Lord's love for me. We may desert the Lord, but his love is constant. We may ignore the Lord. His love is constant. We may rebel against the Lord. His love for us is constant. Constant. We may neglect the Lord. His love is constant. We may fail to read the Bible or pray. His love is constant. We may sadden the Lord. His love is constant. we may return to our old sins. The Lord's love for us is constant. The Lord's love is constant because it does not depend on us. It does not depend on who we are, but on who Jesus is, the perfect God-man. The Lord's love is constant because it does not depend on what we do, but on what Jesus has already done in his death and his resurrection. Thank God. Oh, thank God this is true. Thank the Lord that his love for us is constant. Give thanks to the Lord for his constant love. And the last point that I think David makes in this song is give thanks to the Lord for saving the vulnerable. Give thanks to the Lord for saving the vulnerable. We see this, for example, in verse 6. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. You see, David doesn't only thank the Lord for who he is. He also thanks the Lord for what he's done. As we read in verse 3, when I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. When David prayed, the Lord answered him. He answered him according to his need. David needed strength, and the Lord gave him strength. David acknowledges this, of course, in verse 6 as well. Now, the language in the NIV, I think, is actually quite weak. And so, in the English Standard Version, we read in verse 6, for though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. We need to remember that the Lord is far above all people. The Lord is superior to, greater than all of his creation. But the Lord's not distant or far removed from humanity. In fact, the Lord cares for the nobodies. The Lord cares for the little people. I was watching the opening of the Golden Globe Awards this last week, and it reminded me that the world gives special attention to the famous and the wealthy. The world cares little for the unknown and the poor. But the Lord is not like us. The Lord has little time for the proud and the self-sufficient. The Lord doesn't help those who help themselves. The Lord helps those who need his help. We see this, I think, for example, in verse 7, where David writes, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. David knows firsthand that the Lord protects the needy against their enemies. The Lord has kept King David safe from those who would assassinate him. And so David prays that all the leaders of the world will thank the Lord with him. He writes, all the kings on earth will give you thanks, Lord, when they hear what you have promised. They will sing of the Lord's ways, for the Lord's glory is great. Give thanks to the Lord for saving the vulnerable. I recently watched a wonderful movie, The Zookeeper's Wife. And don't worry, I don't need to give you a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. The Zookeeper's Wife is based on the diaries of Antonina Zabinski, a woman who lived in Warsaw during the Nazi occupation of Poland. And Antonina's husband, Jan, was the director of the Warsaw Zoo, where they also lived. Antonina and her husband worked sacrificially during the occupation to hide Jews and to help Jews escape from the Nazis, using the actual facilities of the zoo and using their own house. Antonina and Jan Zabinski recognized the need of vulnerable Jews, and they risked their lives to save them. Some years later, the nation of Israel responded. They expressed their thanks, and they did so by awarding the Zabinskis the prestigious Righteous Among the Nations Medal. Well, similarly, we need to give thanks to the Lord for saving the vulnerable. Now, we tend to have, I think, quite a limited definition of vulnerability. We think of vulnerable people as perhaps psychologically vulnerable or physically vulnerable or materially vulnerable. Now, of course, that's valid, but Scripture's definition of vulnerability is wider than that. The Lord is also concerned for spiritually vulnerable people. So who are spiritually vulnerable people? Well, I would suggest to you that they are those who are poor in spirit, those who are meek, those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are persecuted for righteousness. These are the spiritually vulnerable. You might have recognized those words because, of course, they come from the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, the followers of the Lord Jesus are the spiritually vulnerable. We're the people that the Lord answers according to our need. We're the people whose prayers the Lord hears because of our faith in Jesus. We're the people who can thank the Lord for our answered prayers. And we're the people the Lord preserves, just like David. We're the people whom the Lord protects from Satan, from his powers and principalities, from his temptations. We're the people who can thank the Lord for rescuing us from Satan's attacks. And like David, we're the people the Lord saves. We're the people the Lord delivers from his just anger and condemnation through Jesus. We're the people the Lord redeems and adopts as his children through Jesus. We're the people the Lord saves for good works and eternal life through Jesus. We're the people who can thank the Lord for our salvation. We should be constantly thanking the Lord, shouldn't we? Because we're the people who witness the evidence of God's constant love. We see that in what he does in our lives from day to day. Give thanks to the Lord for saving the vulnerable. Give thanks to the Lord for saving the vulnerable. Let us pray. We do give you thanks, Lord. We sing with David. We echo his words. And we give you thanks for who you are, for your constant love, for your steadfast love, for your unfailing love. We give you thanks. And we give you thanks, Lord, for saving the vulnerable, not only for saving King David, but for saving us. For saving us who are meek and mourn. For saving us who are poor in spirit. For saving us who thirst for righteousness, who are persecuted for righteousness. Father, thank you for saving us through the Lord Jesus. Make us, we pray, a thankful people. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.